Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Long Shots Primetime Edition with Donnie Wrightside. Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, exclusively on TrendBetting.com. This is an interactive show. We'll be taking your phone calls and also live tweets, talking NCAA basketball, NFL playoffs, college football bowl season, college football Final Four, the national championship game. Big primetime games is what we do. Talking Vegas lines with huge winners and bad beats alike. Join me on the show Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Long Shots Primetime Edition with Donnie Wrightside. TrendBetting.com exclusively. Go to the website now. Check it out beforehand. Click on the experts tabs. Everybody there is there to help you out. Price is cheap and affordable. We're going to do this all season long and have a lot of fun with it. So join us on the show once again. Thursday night edition, primetime. Donnie Wrightside, 8 p.m. TrendBetting.com. Welcome to the show, folks. Once again, it's that time. It's Thursday. It's 8 p.m. It's time for Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with me, your host, Donnie Wrightside. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff is happening now. Football season is just about over. The Super Bowl is on the horizon, and we're right in that sweet spot of college basketball. We're going to have a lot to review tonight, a lot of information to go over. We're definitely going to recap how last week's NFL playoffs ended up, the controversies that ensued, as well as, more importantly, the big wins and the bad beats, if you want to take a look at those. We're also going to do tonight a quick Super Bowl review, because it is the last football game of the season. If you remember last year, we came out firing at Team Trend Betting. We told you, take them any way possible. Money line, against the spread, teaser, parlay. Seattle was the play last year. We let you know a full week ahead of time. We don't have the play in officially yet. Still gathering information. There's some injury information that we do want to go over, but make no mistake about it. We are going to give that Super Bowl play away for free on the show next Thursday. Everything will be dialed and ready to go. And I guarantee you one thing, a lot of information is going to come through from here till next week. A lot of so-called experts are going to see it one way. Trust Team Trend Betting with this pick. Seattle last year, we did not disappoint. Within the first 15 minutes of that game, you were sitting back drinking a beer, smoking a cigar. You already cashed that ticket. It was that easy. So once again, folks, welcome to the show. Guys, Sports Talk Radio, this is what we're about. You know me, myself, Donnie Wrightside. Been in the business over 20 years, selling picks now online for about 2 to 3 years at this point. Have a lot of clients and friends we've won a lot of money for. Gambling does have its ups and downs. We have to look overall long term. We are going to win that money there for you at Trend Betting. There's no question about it. About the show itself, NCAA football, that's what I'm about. NCAA basketball, that as well. Major League Baseball award winning. You see the placards there on my website and also trendbetting.com, and as well as NFL playoffs. And I love college basketball, as I said previously. It's in full swing. We're doing extremely well with that at this point. A 13-8 run overall in our last 21, win 4 out of our last 5. So it's been a nice season so far underway. And as I said again, folks, it's the sweet spot from right now through the tournament. This is the time that you want to get in and get involved. These are where the numbers stick close to as predictable as you can get, because everybody is playing similar conference, playing in their conference, but similar competition. It's very easy to laser pinpoint what you want to look at and hammer and fire away. But let's get into the show tonight. Gambling tips, you know, what we look for, the Vegas line, how's it showing up on the Super Bowl and some of the lines in college basketball tonight? Why is the line moving? Very important. Again, public versus Vegas. If we take a quick snapshot at the Super Bowl, the same thing is setting up as what happened last year when going into Super Bowl time. The minute those games ended on AFC-NFC Championship weekend, the Seattle Seahawks were a 2.5-point favorite last year against the Denver Broncos. Within hours, that completely flipped around to the Seattle Seahawks getting 2 points. Now, the public saw it one way. Oh, boy, there's no way. King quarterback Peyton's not going to lose this game. Denver's on a mission right now. But you have to take everything into account, folks. Peyton Manning's got a noodle arm played against that nasty secondary and defense of Seattle, and it was one of the easier plays that we had all year. But the public climbed on board immediately with Denver because you let your eyes deceive you. How can Russell Wilson win a Super Bowl over Peyton Manning? That's mostly what the public saw. Now, what we do like to take a look at in Super Bowl times is the public is going to play a huge, huge role in moving this line. The Super Bowl is the most bet game of the year. Obviously, it's the biggest game. It's party. There's parlays. There's interior bets on the game, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, coin flip, all those prop bets, anything you can name. So the public is going to influence this line more than any other game. So Joe Public last year hammered Denver because how could Denver lose that game to the Seattle team that, okay, they have a good defense, but I never really heard much about the other part of the team, and I know Peyton Manning, and he's really good, and he beat Tom Brady last week in the AFC title game. It doesn't matter. Public pressure this weekend will play a major telling point in which way we go at TeamTrendBetting.com for the Super Bowl. But that's going to all take place next Thursday. That's going to be a complete Super Bowl show where we're going to fire away, let you know exactly what we're looking on the game, and certainly which way to go. So let's get ready for the show tonight. And again, as I said, 13-8 run for me in college basketball, 4-1 over the last five. Let me take a few moments here to talk about my team at TrendBetting.com. It's a fantastic website, very clean. Go there, check it out, TrendBetting.com. Click on the experts tabs. We're all right there for you. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis Terry, Jeff Brandeis, the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and myself, Donnie Wrightside. Once again, TrendBetting.com. Great group we have there. Price is always cheap and affordable. Click on any one of the experts that you have there. We have everything that you're looking for, NCAA, NFL, fantasy football, I mean, whatever you want, mixed martial arts, NHL, college basketball, it's all there to be had. Check out the team at TrendBetting.com. We certainly won't let you down there. And again, once again, price is cheap and affordable. Let's get right into some NFL action, folks. All right, let's recap. What a weekend we had there. One of my favorite weekends of the year is the AFC-NFC title game matchups. They usually don't disappoint. One game really disappointed this year, but the other one more than made up for it. Let's get to the early action of the day, which was the Packers and the Seahawks at CenturyLink Field. If you know, being a client or a friend of mine, I got this line very early in the week. As soon as the game ended previously, last week with Green Bay winning, we hammered the Seattle Seahawks at -6.5, jumped the number, beat it. It got up to 9.5 on game day, but as you know, sometimes the best laid plans do not work out. The game ended up in overtime. We're going to go over it in just a few moments here and take a look. Early in this game, crowd in a full frenzy. Game started out. Green Bay gets the football, drives right down the field. Richard Sherman comes up with an end zone interception. Why Aaron Rodgers is trying him, I have no idea. But it turns out they got the touchback there, and you really thought that was going to be the setup for the way the afternoon was going to go. Seattle was going to bear down on defense. Seattle offense would take control, but that did not happen. Green Bay completely controlled this football game from start all the way up to about 5 minutes into the, 5 minutes left in that football game. There was a lot of controversy early in the game. Not on the actual officials itself, obviously, but on the actual coaching of Mike McCarthy and the Green Bay Packers. If you looked at that game, they came down the very next drive on an interception to Russell Wilson, got the ball to fourth and goal from the inch line, and elected to kick a field goal, which put them up 3-0. If it was myself, I would have gone for it. I mean, hindsight, it's 20-20. You can play Monday morning quarterback all you want in that situation, but if you're on the road, you want to punch that in and get that 7-0 lead early to sort of take a little bit of the will from that defense and let your offense know, hey, we got your back. We know you can punch this in. Let's go ahead and have a day here. They took the 3-0 lead, which if they would have went for it and didn't get it, what's the worst case scenario that could have happened? Seattle has the ball on their own 4-inch yard line. I mean, you could 3-and-out that defense right there, get the ball back at midfield. Turns out it didn't really hurt because they did end up getting another turnover again with a Doug Baldwin kickoff. Now, they got, again, fourth and goal from the one, and they elected to kick another field goal to go up 6-0 in that. Again, I probably would have gone for it, but the way the game actually turned out, you really can't blame Mike McCarthy because it looks like it was the right strategy because a lot of stuff later in that football game was going to have to play out in order for the Seattle Seahawks to win there. Now, taking a look again, 13-0, 16-0 at the half. Now, when the game was 16-0, if you remember, a key instance happened. Seattle was driving right around the two-minute warning, and Russell Wilson threw a really bad pass up, and Sam Shields made a nice play in the corner of the end zone to get the touchback. And basically, you know, the tweets were getting fired out already, and rightfully so. You know, this game's over. Not only on the stat line, minus 6.5, but Seattle's not going to win this football game, and they're barely having any success on offense. Russell Wilson has more interceptions than completions at the half, and Aaron Rodgers looks like he's going to be able to maneuver his way, just not make any mistakes, and continue on down their path. Going into the second half, another key play in that instance, it was 16-0 Green Bay at that point, and Seattle was lining up for a field goal roughly in the high 40s, about 47, 48 yards. So you figured with about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, why are you rushing the field goal kicker? Just let him kick the field goal. If he makes it from 47 or 48 in the playoffs, outdoors, fantastic. It's 16-3. That really didn't impact too much how the overall game was going. But, of course, Green Bay has a rush on over the left side and a fantastic play call by Pete Carroll in that instance, have a run-pass option with the holder, and he ends up making a fantastic decision. Draws the two defenders close, lobs one over to an offensive lineman at 16-7, and Seattle has life. Now, the game still is technically out of reach. I mean, Seattle's not doing much. Green Bay just has to maneuver, get a couple first downs, maybe a field goal or a touchdown, and they're probably going to seal that game up in the fourth quarter. They weren't able to do that, which was very interesting to me. They took a 19-7 lead and intercepted the football, went down about the 40-41-yard line with about 5.5 minutes to go. So you figure if you run the ball three times, punt, you know, play a little bit of defense. If you get a stop, the game is over. If they score a touchdown, just make sure they score a touchdown after the two-minute warning and get the onside kick, and you're going to have a relatively easy day. But Seattle moves the ball down. I believe it was a 4 or 5-play drive to punch the touchdown in. Now, the key part of that equation was with the onside kick coming up. There's 2:09 on the clock. They did score before the two-minute warning and had one timeout. I actually thought the right play in that situation would have been to kick it deep. Hopefully Green Bay ran a play. You know, you stop them there, call a timeout, and then you have the timeout again at the two-minute warning, and you get the football back somewhere around your own 40-yard line if you three and out them with about a minute to go. But they elect to go for the onside kick. It was the right move. The kick was very well played, but Green Bay actually had the play blocked correctly, but Bostic made the wrong judgment there. All he had to do was go up into the line, into the muddle, and keep away some of the Seattle Seahawks, and Jordy Nelson was sitting right there. He makes an easy catch basically on a pop fly can of corn, and takes a knee, and that football game's over. Doesn't do it. They get the ball around midfield. You knew it was going to happen next. 2 to 3 plays, Marshawn Lynch is in the end zone. 2-point conversion later, it's a 3-point game. Now, you got to give the Green Bay Packers a lot of credit because basically the ball, you know, as we'll talk about later, the air was out of the football, so to speak, but they were able to drive down. And Mason Crosby's had a little bit of a shaky year with field goal kicking. I believe he missed more field goals this year than he has in any other year during his career. Nails a 48-yarder to send that game into overtime. And that's the last that you heard of Aaron Rodgers. Seattle got the football. A couple plays, a beautiful 35-yard strike from Russell Wilson to Jermaine Kearse. Ends that game. They end up in the Super Bowl. The only downfall of that is we were rooting for Seattle, obviously as a somewhat of a fan, but also against the line. Our line was 6.5 that we gathered on Sunday. Really thought that was going to be sensational. Thought they'd win by 7 to 10 points in that game. Wasn't meant to be. We lost by the hook, but a great game no less, setting up and putting Seattle into the Super Bowl. Second game of that day there was the Colts and the Patriots, and that was Ballgate. At 45-7, the inflated balls really didn't matter in that football game. I know it's a big deal. The one thing that I do look at with the professional athletes there, I mean, if you're not trying, you're not cheating if you're not trying, so to speak. So, I mean, everybody out there is doing something, but it just seems like the Patriots just don't care what they're doing out there. You know, it's not so much that they let the air out of the football. It's what aren't they doing? Are they, you know, tapping into cell phones and headsets during the game? Are they flying drones over the other team's practices, stealing tape or stealing plays during the game? If it isn't one thing, it's another with the Patriots there. But they really handled Andrew Luck. We didn't have an overall official play in that game, but if you looked at anything from what history was telling you there, Bill Belichick and the Patriots and Tom Brady own Andrew Luck. I mean, they've wiped them off the field 4 straight times. They weren't even competitive in any one of those football games. The only reason why we backed out there is because Indianapolis coming in a little bit hot, and the overall streak with the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl and the AFC title game, they tend not to cover in that situation. And if you were getting 7 to 7.5 points, even with the bad weather rolling in, you thought maybe something might have been a little bit funny, so you would have taken the points there. We decided to back out there and just watch the blowout. It's a boring game from jump. It was pretty clear that the Patriots were the better overall team, deflated balls or not. And again, if you saw all week long, that's all they're talking about here. And we'll see what the penalty is going to be. $1 million fine to the Patriots, which is nothing. They'll take away maybe a first or second round pick, which is nothing. And you saw Tom Brady and Belichick decline that they knew anything about anything today. So, I mean, that's definitely the Patriot way. Let's take a quick look at the Super Bowl preview coming up next week. Again, we're doing our preliminary work at this point. And again, we talked in the opening part of the show how interesting that line movement is, similar to last year with the same team. Seattle opened up this year. I don't know if it ever got to 2.5 this year, but I know it was definitely 2. Anywhere right now, Sportsbook, Five Dimes, Pinnacle, they're all showing up with a +1 for the Seattle Seahawks. So they're officially a dog. I actually think this game might get to maybe 1.5 or 2, which would be very interesting. But again, I see either way, this is going to be a close game. Nobody's going to run away with this football game. You give Bill Belichick, you know, like Nick Saban, a couple weeks to get ready. Those teams are usually prepared with what you have. But then again, you always say defense wins championships, and there's none better than Seattle. Evidence all year long and last year. This team just doesn't give up anything. They gave up 7 points, or excuse me, a touchdown to Aaron Rodgers, and basically had two drives start inside the red zone due to turnovers from Russell Wilson and also Doug Baldwin. But setting up the Super Bowl, you can't really look at what we like to look at during the year. We love to pick on teams that are at home, you know, with a spread, maybe getting points 1, 2, or 3, you know, somewhere in that range, or maybe a home dog that the public really thinks that the road team is going to win. We tend to go opposite in that because of how hard it is to win a football game on the road. Early thoughts on the game, leaning a little bit towards the Patriots, or excuse me, at the Seahawks at this point. And I like the fact that the game is out west. It is in a dome and it is on grass, so you're going to have, you know, no outstanding, you know, circumstances coming into play with windy conditions, you know, cold. Patriots don't have to deflate any footballs this weekend, or excuse me, Super Bowl weekend next weekend. So it's going to be a pretty even battle. It's going to come down to the matchups there, who's going to be healthy. Last week, Earl Thomas goes down with a separated shoulder, and also Richard Sherman with the strained elbow. That's going to play a key bit of information. I know Earl Thomas didn't practice this week. Richard Sherman did. Obviously, both of those are going to play in this football game. But if they're not 100%, if Earl Thomas can't, you know, use that shoulder to level the boom, Richard Sherman can't fully extend like he did last week to get an interception, that may play a key ingredient in the game. It's all going to boil down to, can the New England Patriots get pressure on Russell Wilson? Because as you know, he's very good in the pocket. He doesn't always run, but if he has to, gained over 800 yards last year on the ground, which is, you know, just about better than half the football team's leading rushers out there, and the guy was a quarterback. So early indications there, leaning again with the Seahawks. The game is in Arizona, so there is some familiarity as the Seahawks do play there each year, so they're going to know the hotel they're probably going to stay at. They're going to know the locker room situation, you know, the sight lines in there, how the sound is, you know, field goal kicker, punters. They're going to know a little bit more about the situation than possibly the Patriots at this point. But again, they both have 2 weeks to get ready. Two of the best coaches in the football league. Pete Carroll is going to have his boys ready. Bill Belichick's going to have a great scheme ready to go. So it's going to be a very, very fun Super Bowl, and one that we called a long time ago, as you saw that Seattle collision course with the New England Patriots coming up. And no doubt about it, we're going to have a nice play. We're going to give away free to the public next week on our show. Going to take a few minutes, pay a few bills here, be back in a couple quick minutes, and we're going to go over my favorite time of the year. It's college basketball. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Long Shots Primetime Edition with Donnie Wrightside, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, exclusively on TrendBetting.com. This is an interactive show. We'll be taking your phone calls and also live tweets, talking NCAA basketball, NFL playoffs, college football bowl season, college football Final Four, the national championship game. Big primetime games is what we do. Talking Vegas lines with huge winners and bad beats alike. join me on the show Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Long Shots Primetime Edition with Donnie Wrightside. Trendbetting.com exclusively. Go to the website now. Check it out beforehand. Click on the experts tabs. Everybody there is there to help you out. Price is cheap and affordable. We're going to do this all season long and have a lot of fun with it. So join us on the show once again. Thursday night edition, primetime, Donnie Wrightside, 8 p.m., trendbetting.com. Folks, welcome back to the show, Long Shots Radio, primetime edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. As you did hear that commercial there, we're definitely going to come with the show every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a couple new commercials cut that will be back up on the Air Force next week. And in the future, again, we get some more time, we definitely want to turn this into a nightly show, give you that recap, set you up on the plays that are coming tonight, what you can look for, and certainly I'm really interested in taking phone calls and doing the live interactive stuff on Twitter. Once we get that going, it is going to be a lot of fun. Let's take a look at some college basketball. You know, not only in tonight's action, but what we look at overall during the year, what we lean towards doing. If you see me on Twitter, at RightsideVP, and of course on Facebook, you can always get a hold of me. You know I love the smaller conferences, folks. You know that. If there's a big game on, you know, I'm not looking at that game. I'm looking at Iona Ryder tonight as opposed to one of the bigger games like Ohio State, Northwestern, and Maryland and things like that. I don't look at those games. I find a lot more value for myself and a lot more fun in those lower levels. You can call me Donnie Mack, which is the Mid-American Conference, or even the Metro Atlantic, two of my favorite conferences there, Missouri Valley, the Sun Belt. All those schools, one of my favorite times of the year, as I said repeatedly, is when we get in the conference play and these guys square off. Because when most of America and most of the betting public is looking to the big conferences, you know, the Big East, the ACC, the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-10, or Pac-12, I should say, all those conferences there, we dive into the smaller ones where we can find those little nuggets of information that a lot of people don't want to uncover. Now, what we look for in college basketball, and I do want to plug again, 13-8 in our last 21, 4-1 in our last 5. We're rolling. We do have a play tonight that just tipped off, but that is for our premium clients. So hopefully we can come up with another win tonight. What I like to look at mostly in college basketball is picking a mismatch. Now, it's a little bit different in football, where if you take like a MAC football team, you know, NIU is playing Eastern Michigan, they're just going to roll them. So you're looking at, hey, you know, can they stop the run? Can they run the ball? Do they run the score up? If the clock is running down, can they bust an 80-yard to cover? It's a little bit different in college basketball. Do we take a look at free throw shooting percentage? Absolutely. But the most part of it is you want to get a game looking at the home team to make sure that they can win the game. Because a lot of the times, you know, you're looking at that home team covering 5, 6, 10, 12, you know, even up to 17 or 20 points. But the main thing you want to do is, can that team have the lead? Because in college basketball, again, different than football, if you have a 3 or 4 point lead in the last minute to 2 minutes of the game, you can very easily lose that game in college with free throw shooting, or you can extend that lead from 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 to 12, you know, going like a 9-2 run or a 9-4 run closing the game, just for the simple fact the other team is firing up threes, which is a low percentage shot. You're getting rebounds and they're forced to foul, so you're getting free throws in a 1-1 situation, and preferably at the end of the game getting into the bonus and shooting the automatic 2 at the line. So looking at conference play overall is what I like to do. How does a team hang in conference play? Because they're usually similar athletes. I know some of the leagues out there, you know, the Wichita States in the smaller conference here, they dominate some of the other teams in their division, but generally the talent is the same. So you want to see how those teams hang with each other, and also more importantly, how do they come up big on the road? Do they play small on the road? Do they play big on the road? Do they only look to get on that home team? And also situational plays are very important as well. We took Drake, which had gotten beat by 36 points the week previous by the team they were playing, and getting 9 points at home. Now, the team that they were playing had a big rivalry game over the weekend coming up with Northern Iowa, so you thought they might be looking ahead to the situation, and they did have a double-digit lead in that game. You know, didn't really care. Just, hey, ho-hum, nobody get hurt. And Drake covered that line. They ended up losing by 8 points, but we had the plus 9 and covered, so that's also big in that equation as well. Also, the overall record on the road and at home. If a team doesn't win on the road and the line's 2, 3, 4, or 5 points, there's a very good chance that if you have a decent home team, they're probably going to come up with the win. And if you're keeping that line under 5 points, you always have a shot in the last minute. Just get to the last minute or two and be up by 1 point, get a stop or two, and you can very easily see that game at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or even 10 points. Now, again, as I said, they could lose the game because college is very unpredictable. There's a lot of pressure in those situations. But typically at that point, you know, being up 1 or 2, you're probably going to win that game and cover the spread because, you know, there's no really need to take any money line at that point because if you have a basketball team that can make some free throws outside of some wacky stuff, you know, bad foul shooting, some three-pointers, and some turnovers, you're probably going to win the game. Now, tonight, taking a look at the card, a lot of interesting stuff. We had 21 games that we capped. We had 6 games that we liked, 2 games we were going to fire on, but only decided on 1. There was some key injury information with a really bad basketball team that was headed on the road, but they were playing a team that wasn't really so good in Rice. Yes, we were going to fire on Rice tonight, but just didn't feel comfortable with a team that's really not used to winning by roughly 8 to 9 points in that situation. Southern Miss is probably going to be without, I didn't check the latest lineup once the game started and the show started to see who was actually going to impact that, but their best player looks like he was in a sit the game, and they're already a horrific team. But the only thing I don't like about that is usually if a team is without their best player the first time they're without them, a lot of times they can compensate, as you'll see, games 2, 3, and 4. They can't do it anymore. You know, the energy's not there, and they just really miss that 14, 15 points per game. So we decided to lay off them at this point. A couple of interesting games tonight. My Temple Owls got an easy win to start the night, 73-48 over South Florida. They only had to cover 10 in that game. We did have that game lined and liked it, but, you know, minus 10, not always the easiest equation in college basketball. You like to see that number around, you know, 6 to 7 or less as a worst-case scenario. And, again, one of my favorite conferences, the Metro Atlantic. Two really good teams in that conference going at it, the Iona Gales and the Ryder Bronx. Looks like Iona has a 4-point lead with about 10 minutes to go in that game. That's always a really, really fun group to look at. Getting a look at some other conferences, as I said, like the ACC, Virginia, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Duke, Syracuse. I mean, yeah, they're fun tournament time because they're the big teams, they're the big star impacts, but it's not really what I look at. Love the A-10. VCU, Dayton, GW, and Davidson joining that conference this year. It's a lot of fun to go over and check out the standings in there as the years go on. We don't really pick on that conference too much there. As I said, we tend to stick to even smaller league there. We love the Horizon League. You see us bet Wisconsin, Green Bay all the time. Very good team defensively in that division there as well. We do like to pick on some smaller teams. I mean, they smashed UIC the other night for a very easy first half cover. We had them minus 10. The MAC, again, Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, Iona, Ryder, Monmouth, Canisius, Manhattan, Siena, Fairfield, Quinnipiac, Marist. You see them sitting there in last place, 0-8 at 1-17. I have no problem taking them, and we have won games on them because, again, it's not about whether you win or lose. It's can you play the game? Can you stay inside of the number? I mean, that's the whole key ingredient to that situation. The MEAC, don't really get into that too much there. Missouri Valley, love that conference. Wichita State, Northern Iowa, two of my favorite teams in the country. They're both 17-2 overall. They're both going to head into the tournament, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch those boys play basketball there. Northeastern Conference there, the St. Francis's, you know, a lot of people get them confused. One's from Pennsylvania, and one is New York. Bryant's always a fun team. We've bet them many times in the past few years there. Ohio Valley Conference, a little bit smaller. We don't pay too much attention to that, but we have bet the Murray State Racers this year and have picked up a few wins with them as well. Southland Conference, Southern Conference, the SWAC, the Summit League, they're all fun. And we bet a lot in the Sun Belt, and we do have a team in action tonight in the Sun Belt Conference. Should be a lot of fun throughout the year in college basketball. Hope you stay with us here at TeamTrendBetting.com. Once again, go to the website, TrendBetting.com. Click on the expert tabs. We're all there. Lucky Lance Williams is the big man behind the ship. CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis Terry, Jeff Brandeis, the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and also myself, Donnie Wrightside. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We're going to do it again next Thursday with our big Super Bowl show. So we'll see you next week. And once again, we'll see you on the right side. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Long Shots Primetime Edition with Donnie Wrightside, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, exclusively on TrendBetting.com. This is an interactive show. We'll be taking your phone calls and also live tweets talking NCAA basketball, NFL playoffs.